This evening I would like to talk a little bit about the Vrindavan experience. Many of you who are here visited the two retreats, both the Govardhan and the Japa retreat, and remember what the retreat experience is like. When we go into a retreat, or when we go onto a sacred pilgrimage, we actually leave our own world to enter a new world. Now, between the two worlds, there is always a threshold. Between our ordinary lives, our ordinary thoughts, and the spiritual life and the spiritual thoughts, we find a threshold. Now, all we can really do is, if we wish to make progress into our spiritual life or on our spiritual path, is to approach this threshold and hope that we are ushered in. The door to the spiritual world opens from the inside, not from the outside. In other, let me give you an example. Now let me see, because we want to have a meditative atmosphere. If I do not manage to reach the intelligence of your child, and your child is bored with me, then please give him an entertainment which fascinates him, and don't plague your child by my lecture, which is boring for him. Hare Krishna. So, yes, for instance, this book, I can try as much as I want to push the book open by applying pressure in this direction. The book will not open. It opens from this direction. In the same way with spiritual life, you can push and try and do spiritual practices no matter how much you wish. It won't bring you necessarily into spiritual life. These practices don't always help you to leave the world dominated by the ego and the mind. These practices are not a guarantee that you can enter the spiritual life. The door has to be opened for you from the inside of the spiritual dimension. And all you can do is to go as close as you can possibly do to come to that door. This is what why we do spiritual practices. They bring us closer to spirituality. But ultimately, the milos has to come. The mercy has to come from the transcendental realm. And the doors have to be opened for you. Now in Vrindavan, or other holy places, there are certain personalities who are willing to open the door for you. Today we visited one, the Yamuna. Outwardly, the Yamuna looks like a river, a black river. The color is black because Yamuna Mai, this is the traditional explanation, has so much association with Krishna that she has become black. Haribo, Siam colored. Now, another explanation is that there is a divine personality called Yamuna Devi, Yamuna Mai, who can bring us into Krishna's vicinity, which can bring us close to Krishna. This one historical account. It's one of the disciples of Shankaracharya. It's an amazing account. It is said that once two Brahmins, they were a couple, husband and wife, went to Vrindavan Dham, to the sacred river Jamuna. And they had their little child with them, a little, I believe, like 1 year old or so, a child which they had taken on the sacred pilgrimage. So as the couple was bathing in the Yamuna, they watched a yogi who was a little bit away from them in a straw hut. You can find these huts at the on the banks of the river Yamuna. And this yogi was a little elderly. The yogi looked at the couple, but the couple didn't pay much attention. They were from South India. They took their bath and they placed the little son, who was sleeping, on the bank of the Yamuna. All of a sudden, they watched something. The little son woke up, crawled to the Yamuna, fell into the Yamuna, and drowned. Hare Krishna. Imagine what misery for a mother and the father to see the child, the little child, drowning. They took the boy out of the water. They placed him at the bank of the Yamuna. They grieved. And all of a sudden, the son was back to life. They thought, Yamuna Mai Ki Jai, Yamuna has saved our son. But what they noticed is that after this, their son spoke fluently to them in Sanskrit. They also noted that their son was extremely enlightened, and they were happy. Now, many years passed, and this couple, one day, they were home in South India, visited the great Saint Shankaracharya. They took their little boy, who was by then 11 years old, I believe, or 8 years old, I forgot exactly, 8 or 11. And they were received by the saint, and as they were received by the saint, the Shankaracharya turned to the little boy and said, "Speak something about the truth." And the little boy composed a beautiful Sanskrit composition about the eternality of the soul. And when he was finished, the boy said to his parents, "You are not my parents." The parents were, "What? You are already unusual. Now you say this very unusual thing. Imagine you return to your mother and your brother, and you would, or the brother would turn to mother and father, 'You are not my parents.'" oh, this would be a memorable event in your family life. You know, this is so. And then Shankaracharya said, explain yourself. And the boy said, I'm a yogi. And he said to the parents, do you remember when you came with your little boy to the bank of the Yamuna? And the boy actually died by falling into the Yamuna. But I wanted to meet Shankaracharya, and I knew you are from South India and you would meet him. So I was that yogi who sat 50 meters away in the straw hut. And when I saw the dead body of your son, I entered it. I entered the body of your dead son, and I came to South India, and now I'm with my Guru Maharaj. Madhava has appeared this spring season. Welcome, welcome. So this is a very amazing story of an amazing reincarnation, but which happened in Vrindavan Dham by the power of this sacred place, and by so many factors. But I want to say to you, these are very usual things which happen here. However, the speciality of Vrindavan is not mystical things like the one which the story I've just told you. The perfection of coming to Vrindavan is that you actually approach the threshold between material and spiritual life, and that you are guided by Yamuna Devi, by Vrinda Devi, ultimately by Radha and Krishna, into the real spiritual life, where you leave one world, almost like leaving your body, and enter into a new world, almost like living or starting a new life. This is the particular benefit which is available for those who are entering the holy Dham, who go to Vrindavan Dham. Now, the problem for many of us is that we are so attached to our old life because we somehow identify a sense of security with the old life that we really do not wish to let go of the old life and enter the new life. That is a problem. We don't have enough faith in Krishna. We do not actually let go of our material attachments. And in Vrindavan, there are many, many, many opportunities to keep the old attachments going. By now, Vrindavan is equipped with the same food which you find in the West, energy bars, everything. There is satellite TV. There is prostitution in cinema. And those who want to eat meat can also have a slaughtered cow from Vrindavan. Everything is available because material life is really there. And sometimes devotees come to me and say, oh, Vrindavan changes so much. Oh, and they lament. And I say to them, why don't you see it in a different way? Vrindavan poses more of a challenge to you. Do you want to leave that external platform of your old life, which somehow has followed you like a shadow into Vrindavan, the same foods, the same everything which you can have in the West is here. Do you really wish to start your new spiritual life? Do you really... are you a pilgrim or are you a comfortable resident of the kingdom of illusion? This we need to ask. This question comes with the modernization of Vrindavan more and more into our life. Which way do we want to go? Which way do we want to go in our lives? Now, it's very easy to go the spiritual life if you make one little transition inside, one little change inside, one little journey inside, one little thing, and that is that you think about your inner spiritual life. Usually we say spiritual life, but I would like to add for the members of the Hare Krishna movement the word inner spiritual life to it, because this little word makes a great point. I want to talk a little bit about the way, in order to illustrate what I mean with the term inner spiritual life, I would like to talk about how Krishna appeared in this world. Once a year, we celebrate Krishna's appearance day. We decorate the altar very beautifully. I think in Vrindavan, the altar is often there is a flower decoration. The deities have lotus flower garments on. It's very beautiful. And on that appearance day of Lord Krishna, we celebrate and we are joyful and we sing and we dance and we eat prasadam in good quantities and so on. But do you know that for a Vaishnava, a devotee of Krishna, he wants that the Lord appears every day in his life. And where? He wants that he appears in the palace or on the altar of his heart. By the way Krishna appeared in this world was anyways, was through the heart. It's described when Vasudev, his father, I want to place a question mark behind this, but I don't want to talk about this in detail. When Nanda Maharaj, he was already 70 years old and everyone had given up the hope that he would have a child, because with 70 years you don't really think of children any longer. So Nanda Maharaj and Yashoda, his wife, thought it is impossible. Then one day they performed a special vrata, the Ekadasi vrata, and a special yagya afterwards. And from that day on, Nanda Maharaj saw a bluish face, a bluish boy in his heart. And he asked his wife Yashoda, "I'm always seeing a bluish boy who smiles at me with lotus eyes, and who draws my heart to him. What is with you?" And she said, "I also see this boy in my heart." Hare Krishna. Who is that? And how does he enchant our heart so much? And you know, a little later, Mother Yashoda laid down in her I do not know how to say in English, but the place where you give birth to a child. And she gave birth to simultaneously one girl, Yogamaya, and one boy, Krishna. This is Rupa Goswami says this. They came. Krishna simultaneously, and you know that means he, his appearance is special, appeared to Vasudev and Devaki in Mathura. But I don't want to get into this complicated detail, otherwise we have to talk the whole evening about this. For now, just know that he appeared first in the heart. The way God will appear for in your life is also first in the heart. The only place where we can receive and perceive God is in the heart, not with the eyes. He will appear in the heart. This I find is the very special challenge of Krishna consciousness, that you have to make your heart or your consciousness, to use another word, into a place where God can appear. You have to, and once he appears, it said you should make a festival, you should dance, you should give food and charity to the poor and needy. It's advised you must make a festival when he appears in the heart. This is the joyous process of spiritual life. Now, it is said in Vrindavan Dham, this place, Krishna very easily makes his appearance in the heart because of the special potency which Vrindavan Dham has, the special energy which Vrindavan Dham has. And I would like to give you a classical example which happened to me today. I must admit to you that in these last days in Vrindavan, I'm a little bit under blissful stress. Stress because I have to see so many people and do so many preparations for our spiritual university and make so many contacts. So there's a little stress, but blissful because one thing is better than the other. Or one person is more. I'm really enjoying these days which are packed full with things to do, services to render. And today I had a little free time with a friend, and we went down to Yamuna. Both of us had done many things. We had to talk about money and bank transfers, something which nobody likes to do in Vrindavan. We had to make agreements and talk about plans and project plans and so on. So we said, enough of this, Peng, we will go now to the Yamuna. And I remember this typical Vrindavan effect. You go down the Yamuna, and already you feel that, whoop, I'm approaching the threshold. Soon something will happen. You're a little afraid because you can't tell what it will be. It's always a surprise. And you walk, you are a little bit alone, you become silent, your mind slows down, and finally you reach the grass-covered banks of the river who comes from eternity and who flows into eternity. And you sit, you're silent, and your mind and all your stress just goes, and you look in the environment. You see a boat, you see one sadhu taking a bath in the Yamuna. He's freezing. They are not so cold resistant here as in Alaska. Another from somewhere, you hear the bell of the temple. You see the silhouette of Vrindavan, Keshigat. And you, all of a sudden, you begin to chant and go deeper, and you come into that state of the mind where it's really peaceful. And all of a sudden, it seems as if a curtain opens, and another reality is seen. You see that everything is very blissful. Everything is very wonderful. Everything is touched by Krishna's divine energy. This is what Krishna showed the Brijbasis at the time of his appearance. These residents of Vrindavan wanted to know from Krishna, where will we go after our death, Krishna? Can you please show us? And Krishna said, come with me to the Yamuna. Come to Akrura Ghat. It's on the bank of the Yamuna. They came. Krishna said, now look into the waters. And as they looked, they all of a sudden saw the spiritual world, Vaikuntha. But then they saw even higher their own Vrindavan. They saw themselves and they saw Lord Krishna. Narada Kripa, maybe this Tulsi leaf will take care of your... But if you have to cough, continue to cough and do your... concerto. Sometimes to drink some, you tried already everything, yes. So they saw actually, Krishna showed them, what you will go to is the same place where you are already. You will go to Vrindavan, but Vrindavan in that eternal spiritual world. And in this way, they understood where they were was not the material world. Where they were at present was already the spiritual world. Krishna proved to them by showing their ultimate destination, which was identical with the place where they were now, Vrindavan, that Vrindavan is absolutely transcendental and spiritual. The only thing is for a pilgrim like us, that the curtain to Vrindavan is also there, and our vision is covered, and therefore, my dear devotees, to go to Vrindavan means to take shelter at those divine personalities who can draw the curtain. And all of us, and give us a glance into the eternal Vrindavan. One of the greatest personality of doing that is Yamuna Devi. Tomorrow we will make the, I always jokingly say, we make the unpardonable mistake to leave Vrindavan. Some of us, I heard 11 of us will go by the Turkish Airlines. away from here. I want to tell you, if you have still some time, please try to go to Yamuna and experience this. Also, our dear guests from America, maybe Ananda Vrindavan, you could go with them. Is he still here? And show them Yamuna. It's the best place. Even for the children, young children like to see turtles, no? And there are turtles, they are in the water. and birds, wagtail birds, and pelicans, and everything is available. And you can take a boat with a family and just float down the river and have a real experience of going to the threshold and passing over it. It will be unforgettable. Maybe Ananda Vrindavan Sampradaya. Most probably you have a different name than Ananda Vrindavan, isn't it? Yes. Yes. You could speak if your guests would like such an experience, and then arrange it for them. Mm-hmm. So Yamuna is one, and there are other personalities who can open the door from inside. I would now see, it's so important for me to somehow relate to you. When that door opens, then you will see how Krishna comes into your heart. And the whole process of Krishna consciousness is not very complicated. Yes, we have a complicated philosophy for the complicated minds amongst us. Necessary, because... But it's very easy. Krishna should be in the heart. Ping. That's all. Always remember Krishna. Never forget him. Nothing more. If you cannot remember more, you have remembered everything. The moment Krishna is in your heart, you will see the world totally different. It's almost like when you have blue glasses on, all of a sudden you see everything blue. So when you have God in your vision, at that time, you are actually able to see him everywhere. Everywhere. And then, what is there to lament? What is there to be worried about? You see everything in contact with him. This is a very simple, but very difficult, when the curtain remains closed. And therefore we go on sacred pilgrimage, and we pray to Lord Krishna to kindly reveal his plan. There is a succession. If you want to make advancement in the Gaudiya line, you go to the holy dham, the holy place. When you can't go physically there, you go in your meditation there. Then you chant the holy name of the Lord. And then the last thing is, Krishna will reveal to you what is his desire for you. This is the succession. Dham brings Nam, brings Krishna come. Krishna's desire. This is how it goes. In my life, so many things have happened in the last few days that I have to meet with my organizational team. I'm now have my organizational team because I'm sometimes a little spontaneous and I need to be brought on the correct path. No, I need help to just do the many things. Don't worry, it's not something entirely different than what we discussed so far. It's only a continuation. But I have personal experience like this. And today a miracle happened which I can talk about in 3 months, not earlier, because I promised I wouldn't. I'm just totally convinced. Let me conclude this evening with a song. Don't worry, I won't try to sing it. It's a little difficult. The song's title is, "Oh Friends, Listen to My Words." Actually, I see. Sachi Devi, may we afterwards ask you to sing a little bit for us? Would you like to take your seat already? Here. Oh, friends, listen to my words. Are you ready to do that? Yes, oh God. Oh, my dear friends, please hear my words. When the thief of my heart appears to me, I remain overwhelmed in pure ecstasy. This is a song to Krishna. When Krishna appears to me, the thief of my heart, I remain overwhelmed in pure ecstasy. But when I try to see Lord Krishna more closely, he suddenly becomes invisible. You know, this happens when you may have a spiritual experience in Vrindavan, but then if you try to repeat it again, you may do the same things you have done. Oops, this time it doesn't work. Lord Krishna is invisible. He is the one who opens the door and closes the door, not you. Thus, losing sight of him again, my soul weeps, and there is no limit to the unhappiness that I feel. Sometimes that friend of the universe takes me as one of his associates. Sometimes he disappears, but however he chooses to treat me, he is still the Lord of my life. By bestowing his blissful audience, Lord Krishna gives happiness to my soul, and he speaks words of love to me. But then again, by his absence, he burns my heart, and he who is the treasure of my life gives distress to my soul. But, O friends, listen to my word. Whatever is Krishna's happiness, that is also my happiness. Therefore, I do not care any longer about my own happiness or distress. They are equal. My own happiness is the same as my own distress. I want to give happiness to Krishna now. In meeting or in separation, Bhaktivinoda knows only Krishna to be the Lord of his life and is made happy only by his happiness. He is the Lord of Bhaktivinoda's soul, and he will never be looked upon with indifference. I like this soul very, this song very much, because it gives us a little bit an account of what will happen on the spiritual path. Krishna, especially in Vrindavan, will sometimes come very close, but he then again disappears from our sight for a good reason, to make us more and more attached to him. And the more we begin to hanker after him, the more our desire comes, the more the longing comes, the more Krishna will know, now this soul is getting ready for my ultimate, my complete, my Purna Darshan. See, spiritual life starts when you hear a whisper. Oh, this is not the real life. Go to the real life. This whisper, I think we all hear. But we classically ignore this whisper. Oh. Then it becomes louder. Hey, you're cheating yourself by continuing this type of life. Then, at that time, we become more eager for spiritual life, and we start to our spiritual path. But then Krishna puts on the tests. Ah, do you really want this? Do you really wish to surrender? And our desire is becoming stronger at that time, like the purity of gold, which becomes stronger when it is burned into the fire. Krishna does this. He throws the love of his devotees into the fire in order to purify that love more and more and show the purity of his devotees to the world. Just like it is described, a rich man who has gold coins wants to sometimes present others the gold coins. And before he does this, he will burn the gold coins in fire so that the gold coins become more pure. When you take gold and burn and melt it 100 times, it becomes extremely pure. I've never seen a German rich man doing this, but in India apparently they do that. So Krishna, in order to show the purity of his devotees to the world and to make them also more pure, puts them into the fire of separation. This is good. This is necessary. This is helpful. So Vrindavan, you always make this experience very quickly. It's very condensed. You have an experience of Krishna, and then the next day you might find yourself thinking yourself light years away. You are like the total new spiritualists who come to Vrindavan and have nothing better to do than just wasting their time with material talks, and you feel exactly like them. Then the next thing you know is you sit at the Jamuna and the curtain opens. So please, all of you, make a plan to stay connected with Vrindavan. Take Vrindavan in your heart. Take Krishna in your heart. And you will soon become very advanced in Krishna consciousness. And don't be surprised if Krishna then comes and purifies your heart. My favorite verse goes like this. My favorite poem goes like this. O devotees of the Lord, continue to wave your incense, ring your bells, sing your songs, and call for your Lord. But then, don't be surprised when he actually comes. And he will take you into... Now this is a difficult English word, and I will turn to our guests for help. He will take you in his forge. Is that an English word? Forge? It's like the fire of the blacksmith.
Forge.
The forge.
You know everything. He takes it. Forge. Not the right accent, but it's about that. It's a place, you know, with which a smith has. Do you know? We have so many European guests, and there he will take, the smith takes some, maybe a sword, a sword, and he melts it a little, and then he again bangs on it, so then it becomes a real Excalibur, King Arthur's sword, huh? A real good sword. So call for your Lord, but don't be surprised if he takes you into the fire. And he will turn up the fire. He will bring his big hammer. Not the small. The big one. Because he finally wants to turn ordinary metal into shimmering gold. Hare Krishna. This is from Keshavadas, a poem of Keshavadas. It rhymes in Sanskrit, but not in English. So, in Vrindavan Dham, this is the experience. But the experience becomes very sweet when you surrender to Krishna. This is what I wanted to talk about today. Do you have some questions which you would like to ask? Mandaleshwari.
I don't remember which verse.
fått köpa att explain that colleague that if there is one devotee has to avoid the people who has a bad character in the proud and even this person is a devotee, so devotee must avoid this and don't have any contact. But on the other side, one devotee must have a compassion to tolerate. So how?
In the Srimad Bhagavatam, it is stated that that you have to avoid envious people and who have a bad character, even if they happen to be devotees or be on the spiritual path. On the other hand, however, we hear we should be compassionate. So how to bring the two together? It is like this, Mandaleshwari. You have to see how strong you are. When a doctor goes into an area which is infested by pestilence or disease, he must know, will I be able to operate there without getting ill myself? So when you associate with people, you must check if you are influenced or not. Sometimes we get influenced and we should be honest. Oh, we should say, this gets a little bit too close to me, and then we may have to make a pause from this contact and association. Govindanandan.
How do we stay in contact in Vrindavan when we come back to the
How do we stay in contact with Vrindavan when we stay back? Come to the bed. That's my favorite subject. When you chant, close your eyes and visualize the places where you were and chant from there. This is what Srila Prabhupada did. When Prabhupada was in New York, someone asked him, "Are you here?" And he said, "No, I'm always in Vrindavan." Radha Kripa, you look so miserable. What to do? What to do? Cough is terrible. So we learn the simple technique of closing your eyes and being in Vrindavan. It's wonderful. For that, you might like to go, a few times to Vrindavan. But I'm very unspiritual person, so I went many years to the same sitting place at Radhakund and saw the same scene again and again. And now when I close my eyes, I see that green, that golden water full of splendorous light, because I saw it for many years, many hours a day. Now it's in there. You have a photo apparatus, a film apparatus. It's the heart. But many of you have not read the instruction manuals as of yet and don't know how to use it. Hare Krishna. So powerful that you know it when it comes involuntarily during dreams. Everyone sees during dreams, isn't it? Which shows that the mind is able to hold pictures. Now if you, this is coming without our conscious interference. You can't know, of course there are techniques to influence your dreams, but I'm speaking now of the normal person who doesn't know these techniques. But you can learn to train the mind to visualize and see things. It's very, you just need to try it a little bit over some years, and then it works wonderful. Imagine someone asking Prabhupada, are you here? No. No, no. Don't want to be here. We sometimes have to be here also, you know, over here, whatever that here means at that time. So not sometimes, we have to do what we are meant to do in our lives, but I'm now speaking about how to remember Vrindavan. Sometimes pictures help, outer pictures. But I believe Vrindavan really, Vrindavan, to learn the Vrindavan experience, you need to know what is rasa. Rasa is a very high concept, but it is also there in, for a beginner or for, you know, for someone like us, it can also be available in a, maybe not in that strongest form. Rasa is a taste which happens in which comes due to a relationship. So that relationship to Vrindavan will produce that rasa. It's a certain taste, a mellow. And I'm always saying, try to make a relationship with Vrindavan by doing some service to Vrindavan. Visiting Vrindavan more often will create a relationship. And then there is, you know, the taste always happens when there is a relationship. Krishna. How to stay fixed in the Vrindavan mood? Make plans to return again to Vrindavan. Or listen to Vrindavan-related topics. Meditate about Vrindavan. But see, if you really want to know how to remain in Vrindavan consciousness, then you need to do something. I mean, I know that no one will do this, but I will nevertheless do my duty and say it. You need to come to Vrindavan a few times, and you need to chant the holy name and totally immerse yourself in the holy name. Then, as you do this, you will see how you access the spiritual dimension of the holy Dharma. Then when you chant the holy name in the West, the Dharma will come all of a sudden to you. Prabhupada gave me personally this instruction. He said, how do you like Vrindavan? I mean, not just me alone. That was in a lecture at a group of us were there. And he said, how did you like Vrindavan? He said, very much. Okay, he said. Soon you will go back to the West. Now it is your duty to take Vrindavan to the West. He wanted us to take that spiritual plane with us and live there. Good. Any other question? You appear a little tired. Is it the winter cold? Which the concerto. The air idea. The air, of course. Govinda Nandan. You were the master of air. It's the air. Let us breathe fresh air. No, really, open the... Adi Purusha.
Recently, several devotees asked me, how do we determine what we see in Vrindavan? Is it part of covering? Real Vrindavan.
Yeah.
In other words, like the trees, for example, or the animals. We are told that the trees are kalpa vrikshas. Are they all participants of the real Vrindavan? Or Are they the outside? Or are they in between?
Is the tar road spiritual, or is it imported from Agra? Has it become spiritual in contact with the dust of Vrindavan?
I'm sorry, I've been told that this is an inconceivable reality.
Yeah, that's why I'm trying to find. My firm conviction is, this is now an individual answer. Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu would say, my 2 cents worth of opinion is that the curtain can open in different degrees. Like when you're in a real professional stage, you have different curtains. At least in the stages which in Serbia I often saw this. There are different levels, you know. So when the whole curtain opens and everything becomes visible, then you will faint. This description is given in Jaiva Dharma, where one of the two devotees, I forgot, I thought Vijaya, maybe Vijaya Kumar, but maybe the other, goes and all of us goes through Puri, which is identical with Vrindavan in some ways, and all of a sudden the curtain lifts and he sees these trees which are lustrous with a divine lustre. Then he hears the beautiful sound of the anchor bells of the gopis, and then he sees a glimpse of the divine couple and he's overwhelmed. That's when all the curtains are drawn, so to say. That's very rare. Usually it happens to devotees who are on a very high stage. But I don't know if it's clear. You are usually not, the ordinary devotee is not such a terrible stage person like me, who lived on stages, slept on stages. I mean, there's first curtain, then drugi, the second, third, like this. So when all of the thing goes up, then that is the full darshan of the uppercut Vrindavan Dham. But sometimes Krishna makes it like this, that the first curtain opens, and then you all of a sudden come into this Vrindavan flow. One of the young devotees told me, then I went there, and then I met this person, and then this car came and took us there, and then I never thought I would find it, but I found it, you know, and this is a Vrindavan flow. You really feel, you don't see the face of Krishna, but you clearly feel his hands arranging it. That is maybe the first level of the Dham. That may close again. And the smallest things you can't get because it's the Indian factor which you meet and everything doesn't work, you know, and everything is lost and no one is there. You know, that typical plunk, plunk, plunk going over, which drives a European or American crazy when he is in India. No, nothing works and nothing is expected. You turn your shower up and you expect that the water goes in the bucket, and all of a sudden you're still dressed in your clothes and everything comes over you, and you think or you put soap over you all over, and you then expect water, and of course it does not come. you know, and these things, you know, but you know, the Hare Krishna. Hopefully India will always remain India, you know, because we need some flexibility in life, you know. So yes, this is the first layer when you see really Krishna's arrangements working against the India factor even. Then there are other very sweet realizations. Usually when we see a devotee, through devotees very often Krishna acts in the spiritual realm. May I narrate one story from my own experience? Now, I was staying at Radhakund, and Radhakund, everyone thinks about his spiritual identity. So, because I had association, I also thought about my spiritual identity. I wonder what I am and my real identity. I was just innocently thinking about it. Then I was continuing to chant. I was thinking. I'm really curious to know. So then, as I'm sitting in my favorite sitting place, people do parikrama cross just before me, and then I opened my eyes. I was chanting, and all of a sudden I see one of these old men, old Babajis, who can't somehow stand erect any longer. I don't know what it is which makes them bend over, some spindelosis or something. He came with a stick, and he just, this old opa, you know, this old man, smiles at me. And normally they don't speak English, you know. This, he said in perfect English, and your spiritual identity will be revealed only by your Guru Maharaj. Then he continued his path and disappeared. And I was, wait. And I ran after him, you know, to get some further clarification, you know. After all, he seemed to know what I was thinking about. And I caught up with the same old man, and I asked him, and he said, English name. English name means no English, you know. And I knew a curtain had opened, you know. This is typical. English name. Very, you know, he thought I was a fool that I can ask him something in English, which is such an unnecessary language, you know. Everything can be talked very nicely in Bengali. You know. English name. It was very loud. It came very loud. It's just bang. And he smiled at me when he said it, you know. He really said it. Like this, you know. Hare Krishna. Okay. Anyone else of you has a little question? Radha.
You spoke about Yamuna Devi, who can open the door to the spiritual world. Who are the other personalities?
Usually it said Gopeshwara Mahadev, Yamuna Devi, Purnamasi, Vrinda Devi, and the dust of Vrindavan. Then additionally the trees are mentioned. This makes six. And the last is a mystical answer. Krishna can reveal himself through anyone and anything if he wants. but start with these six, you know, the holy name. There are many, many, many. There's one thing which happened. There was a princess coming into Vrindavan in the olden time, being carried on a palanquin. She was carried on the palanquin. And she had an Indian English is called pikemen with him herself, you know, 11 people with lances just to protect. And as she entered, as she was carried through Vrindavan, there were these people who swept the streets, and the pikemen said, please don't sweep the streets now, our princess is coming, and the dust from the dusty roads will come into the palanquin and Her Majesty will be disturbed, it is invade. So as the street sweepers retreated, all of a sudden Krishna Balaram appeared. And they said to the princess, get down, princess, from your palanquin. This is not the way to enter our kingdom. The best way to enter our kingdom is to be in contact with the dust of Vrindavan, like these street sweepers. And as the princess had this divine vision, she came out of the palanquin and jumped into the dust of Vrindavan, rolling there in uncontrollable ecstasy. Krishna Balaram had made it clear, the dust of Vrindavan is very, very sacred, and from the and the street sweepers are always in contact with the dust of Vrindavan, therefore they are the most special. I heard this stuff. There's so many stories you hear which glorify the dust of Vrindavan. Therefore, many, many devotees, they like to sweep the streets because they feel it's a good service. And also, the side effect is the dust comes. Many, many devotees start their spiritual life through street sweeping. It's called Jaru Seva. It's very desired seva. I personally also learned this when I was in Radhakund. I went every day and swept the kund with a broom. I did it at 2 o'clock in the morning so that no one would see a Westerner doing it and maybe, you know, react in an astonished way and so on. Simple service. Jaru Seva is often very good.